You know, I had just kind of an off-the-cuff conversation with another believer about this and didn't really think a whole lot of it about it again. And then Justin asked me to teach, and I was like, ooh, I think I'm going to teach on this. So let's start in John 10:10. Sure, a verse where most people are, Oh, I'm in loop. That's why it didn't look right. See? Off to a bumpy start. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So, you know, it says that we're to have life, but not just to have life, but to have it more abundantly. You know, when I kind of think of life, you know, I think about, like, you know, my family and, you know, the things that we do day to day. And, you know, maybe there's some major moments in there, but, you know, having that fullness in our day to day lives, you know. And it says that the adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when I hear the word steal, kill, and destroy, those are pretty strong emotional words. So, like, I kind of picture, you know, someone, like, breaking down a door and, like, running into your house and stealing your stuff and, like, you know, beating you up or something like that. You know, and certainly those things probably happen in our lives, but I think more often than not, the killing and stealing and destroying that takes place in our lives is so subtle that maybe we don't even notice it. I think we've all heard that there's two ways off the word, pleasure and pressure. We've all heard that. But, you know, I think that there's a secret, sneaky third way that's becoming more and more apparent in our culture. And I think that's, you know, apathy, or, you know, I racked my brain thinking for the right word here, but I don't know that I quite nailed it, but, you know, like apathy or boredom or mundaneness. I think that our culture has gotten really caught up in some of that. So let's look at Genesis 3:1. It says, "Now the serpent," "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So the adversary, you know, it said in John 10:10 that he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And here it says that he's more subtle than any beast of the field. You know, and he just snuck right in there and he got Eve's eyes off of what God provided. But I think the key here is that he's subtle. And I have a couple of visual aids. So, and I want to be clear that these are things that popped up in my own Instagram feed, so this is not an indictment on anybody's Instagram habits, okay? So now, I saw these things and I laughed, you know, I mean, so, you know, they made me laugh, but it was only after I kind of started thinking about this topic that it kind of like hit me a little bit, that I was like, ooh, like, you know, what is that really saying? So I'll just turn there real quick, but and I'm sure this is a verse that we're all familiar with, but in Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, you know, maybe we see stuff like this all over our feed and laugh, and, or maybe we spend time with a friend who complains all the time or always has something negative to say, you know, and over time and over repeated exposure, you know, what do these things make us think about our own lives? You know, do we think about you know, oh yeah, my kids are really annoying, or oh yeah, my husband doesn't ever listen to me or do what I think he should do, or you know, my life is really mundane and we don't have fun and we don't get to go out and do things that other people get to do. You know, I mean, do these things that we're seeing and surrounding ourselves with help us focus on the more abundant side of our life? Or do they cause us to focus on areas that might be lacking, or maybe even focus on problems that aren't even really problems? These were just a couple of examples that got me thinking, but I mean, you know, I think it really could be anything. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices," or his thinking, or his scheming. So it says here that we have to be wise to the way the devil works and his scheming and his subtlety and maybe those little ways that he's getting into our lives and stealing that more abundant life and destroying that more abundant life for us. Because if we're not, it says that he gets the advantage over us. And 2 Peter 5:7 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast." So again, you know, these, roaring lion walking around and devouring, you know, these are strong words. But how often are we being just kind of like ambushed and devoured in our lives? I mean, that again, that happens, but I think it's frequently way more subtle than that. And that's why we need to be sober and vigilant and look out for things that are stealing and killing and destroying. We need to actively look for those things, because if we don't, he's going to overtake us in ways that we don't even realize. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, or Proverbs 4. Are they chapters in Proverbs? I don't know. It says, "And keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And this diligent here is, I had heard somebody say once that it's all the effort that you can muster, that we need to guard our hearts, because basically everything in life comes out of our heart. And the more abundant life is made or broken in our hearts, and the more abundant life doesn't get stolen from us in one swoop, but it gets stolen by us. It gets stolen from us just little piece by little piece by little piece. And we need to guard against that. Go to Proverbs 29. Verse 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So where there's no vision, the people wander aimlessly. This perish could be better translated. So if we don't have vision for our lives, if we don't know where we're going, it's easy to get lost and it's easy to wander about aimlessly. So what's the vision for our lives? And does what we do or see or read or talk about contribute to that vision, or is it stealing and killing and destroying it? So I thought that we could just go through some verses that really it kind of gave me some vision for how we can live. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm just going to kind of go through these quickly. I think a lot of these speak for themselves, but. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Well, is that something that we expect every day? For God to work exceeding and abundantly above on our behalf? Is that something that we expect from him every day? Because we can. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. So things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, are these the things that we spend our time thinking about every day? Are these the things that we, endeavor to fill our lives with? And, you know, and it's pretty cool that it says that when we do that, that the peace of God is with us. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So when we walk by the Spirit, these are the things that we're going to produce in our lives, and these are things that are, you know, worth chasing after and work and worth focusing on in our lives. Psalm 95. Verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. We can focus on being joyful and making a joyful noise and coming before God with thanksgiving and being thankful for all those little things that God does for us in our lives. Go to Psalm 92. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So flourishing and growing and planting and, you know, fat and flourishing, is this how we see our lives? Every day, you know, not just when something really great happens, but, you know, do we look at our lives like that and see our lives as being full and fat and flourishing because of all that God's given us? Or do we focus on, you know, what we're lacking? Let's go to Psalm 36 really quickly. This one really blessed me. Verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Now, to me, this is just a really great mind picture of how our lives can be, that we're abundantly satisfied and that we, you know, drink out of this beautiful river that God's provided. And, you know, I mean, when I picture my life, that's what I want to picture and what I want to think about. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And verse 11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Having all sufficiency in all things and abounding unto every good work, being enriched in all bountifulness. Again, those are all great ways that things that we have that we need to focus on in our lives. And then lastly for this section, we'll just look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, you know, I mean, for every little annoyance that we have in our life, there's something to be equally thankful for. You know, and do we focus on those little things that that God does for us every day? I mean, do we notice things that God does for us every day, the little things? You know, I mean, do sometimes when we pray for something small, I don't know, I didn't think of an example, but, you know, do we notice when that comes to pass? Or do we just, you know, are we so caught up in just the mundane of every day that, like, sometimes we don't notice these things? Go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, you know, again, you know, this just made me think about, you know, what am I sowing in my life? Am I sowing things that are going to allow me to live a more abundant life? Or, you know, am I sowing those things sparingly? Because if I'm sowing those things sparingly, I'm going to reap them sparingly. You know, and again, it's not always as cut and dry as I'm making the decision to sow sparingly. A lot of time, I would say most times, we don't even realize that we're sowing these things sparingly in our lives. That it's just something that just creeps in until we're somewhere that we don't even realize anymore. So we're not going to go there, but in Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And John 16:33 says, in this world you will have tribulation. You know, so we do all have afflictions in this life, and we will have trouble in this world, but just because we face trouble and affliction doesn't mean that we let go of the more than abundant life. You know, do our lives get wearisome when we deal with trials and tribulations, or even if we're just dealing with the everyday stuff of life? You know, of course those things get weary, and, you know, we need refreshing, but we need to check that weariness, you know, and not embrace it. And, you know, I think seeing some of those things that I pulled up, it's like those are people just embracing the weariness of life. I really wanted to go through Hebrews 11, but for the sake of brevity, we won't. But I just thought that I'd mention that I really thought about this section a lot when I was thinking about this teaching. And, you know, I think that we always think about these believers, like, in light of their great believing, and rightfully so. But, you know, what do they do between these acts of great believing? You know, do you think that they stayed sharp between those times? Do you think that they were just waiting for the promise of God to come to pass? Or do you think that they lived joyfully during those times, you know, or do they just fall into mundane patterns of the day to day, or were they living joyfully, or, you know, was Abraham like, ah, my tent needs to be fixed again, you know, or were they working on building their believing? Recently, somebody really wise that I really respect said to me that something that really, really stuck with me. And he said that the time to work on your believing isn't when trials and tribulations hit. The time to work on your believing and to grow is when things are peaceful. You know, but I think that our natural man brain is kind of programmed for chaos. So when we do have seasons of peace in our lives, I think the tendency is not to work on believing and work on cultivating thankfulness in our lives. But, you know, our brain wants to create problems where there are no problems. So we have to really, you know, check that and, you know, make sure that we don't get sucked into the monotony of life when things were peaceful. You know, and embrace those times when things are good and abundant and peaceful in our lives, and we need to use that time wisely to build our believing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
What chapter?
4, sorry.
Thank you.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So again, we all have momentary and light afflictions in our lives. But where do we bring our focus? When these things come up, do we focus on the things that are not seen? Do we focus on the goodness of God? Do we focus on the greater reality of the truth of God's word? Because those are the eternal things. Those are the things that really matter and the things that bring abundance into our lives. And, you know, I think it's kind of cool in a way that the word kind of brings up so much that we all have momentary light afflictions, that we all have trials and tribulations, that in this world we will have trouble. Because I think that the adversary would have us to believe that in order to have the more abundant life, that we're never going to have any problems. Or if we have a repeated problem or something that we deal with ongoing in our life, that we don't get to experience the more abundant life until that's over. Or until we get to a place where we don't have problems or temptations or trials. But we have the more abundant life in spite of all those things, because we have fellowship with God. We have sufficiency in all things. We can enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We can give thanks in all things. We can recognize what he's doing for us despite any trials or tribulations that might be happening in our life. Okay, and then we can close in Luke 8. Mm-hmm. We're going to read verses 11 through 15, but this is the explanation of the parable that Jesus Christ told about the sower and the seed. Chapter 8. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I think one of the biggest things that I took away from the advanced class was when Dr. Werwell talked about this section, because I kind of always thought about this in terms of, like, when a new believer hears the word, you know, what's their reaction to hearing the word? But, you know, he kind of explained in the advanced class that this isn't a one-time decision that we make the first time we're presented with a word, but this is a decision that we make over and over and over again. Every time that we hear the word, are we going to be good ground and allow that word to grow and be fruitful in our lives and live more abundantly? Or are we going to allow that word to be choked out of our lives? And, you know, I think sometimes that apathy and that boredom and that mundane feeling that we get in our lives, you know, sometimes that chokes the word out just as much as those big trials and tribulations that we face. So I think that we need to just make sure that we're cultivating in our heart that good ground that the word is going to sink into every day, and not just the first time we hear the word. So that's it.